Good morning. Let me pray before I start to talk. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can look at your word. Thank you that we have the freedom. But thank you, Lord, that we are able to, in looking at your word, find encouragement. So we pray that this morning, by looking at this psalm, we can find what you want to say to us about loneliness. Find your encouragement. Find your peace. Help us, Lord, by your Spirit, be with us now as we study this psalm. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Well, last week Matthew started the new sermon series off by looking at Psalm 16. And he looked at the subject of insecurity. But this week, the psalm is written by a different author. Much like our modern hymn books, the Book of Psalms gradually grew from smaller collections. But the latest organisation is divided into five books. Psalms 1 to 41 is Book 1, and we're going to take the first psalm out of Book 2 today, because Book 2 is Psalms 42 to 72. Whilst Psalms 3 to 41 represent a collection attributed to David, Book 2, however, Psalms 42 to 49 are attributed to Korah, and for the most part are community psalms. The psalm today is said to be from the sons of Korah, and if you look at Numbers 16, verses 31 to 33, you can see that Korah started a rebellion against Moses, but God won that day as well. The sons of Korah descended from Korah and were a subgroup of priests in charge of worship. And the other word that starts this whole thing off is a maskil, which comes from the verb that means instruction or enlightenment. So as we turn our attention to this psalm, we are looking for instruction or enlightenment. And it also says, a longing for God and his help in distress. And we see that the psalmist deeply and desperately longs for God. And we can see that right at the beginning. And it starts by painting this idyllic picture with its very first line. We can imagine the deer slowly dipping its head into the water, lapping up some water while the sun is shining on its back and the birds are singing. And with the very first line of the psalm, we get the impression that everything is peaceful and everything is right in the world. With its very first line, we could imagine that life is in balance. Life is good. Or so we could think. Here we have an image of a deer slowly sipping from a stream. But if we take another look, we realise that there could be something wrong with our picture. This deer may not simply be lapping up the water, but sticking its head in, totally submerged. This deer is dying of thirst, and it's desperate for some water to quench it. Because verse 2 says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. So let's take a step back and see the bigger picture. And we realise that this deer has wandered into a desert and has been wandering aimlessly for a while. We look at verses 2 and 3. It's anxious for just a bit of water to restore its soul, to save its life, in verse 5. Unfortunately, in those moments, in those dark nights of the soul, sometimes we do find ourselves no longer in the middle of an idyllic picture of peace, but rather in the middle of a struggle between doubt and faith. And we do find ourselves in the midst of a very dry place spiritually, and we can't help but wonder, as it says in verse 9, where is your God? Or where is our God? Where are you, God? We've all just experienced something very different with the pandemic. that has affected everyone in many different ways. And like Matthew said last week, mental health is a major problem now. According to the Office for National Statistics figures, which were published on the 7th of April this year, almost 1 in 14 people aged 16 or over in Great Britain say they are lonely, which is up 40% since last spring. Between April and May last year, 1 in 20 people aged 16 plus that were surveyed said that they felt lonely often or always. That increased significantly between October and February this year to a proportion equating to 3.7 million people. And among people who said their well-being had been affected by coronavirus in the last 7 days, those aged 16 to 24 were approximately four times as likely to report feeling lonely as people aged 75 and over. As we say, a major problem. But the truth is, in answer to the question, where is our God? God's been there all along. We may just have to do some legwork to get us to the well or get us to the stream so that we can drink. So as we take a look at Psalm 42, the psalmist is asking the question, but he doesn't blame God for abandoning him. He even admits at one point that he was right there, leading everyone in worship, in verse 4. Through lockdown, there have been many who felt lonely. Those living on their own, those unable to see their family, those in care homes without visitors, those in hospital with COVID, parents unable to see their children, university students either stuck in halls of residence, in their flats, or stuck at their parents' home without seeing their university friends, even our NHS workers. It's been a time when we've all been tested. But all along, we have to believe that God is in charge. But discouragement can come from many sources. But we have to think back to the biblical stories. On occasions, Jesus left his disciples to pray in solitude. But in general, he did everything with this ragtag bunch of people. His life and his mission remind us that even he refused to live life in isolation. And like Jesus, we exist for relationships. Our first need is to turn to God. In Psalm 68, David praises our fatherly Lord by saying, God sets the lonely in families. Life can be hard when we feel that God has completely forgotten us. When our backs are to the wall and things don't seem to be working out the way we might have expected, Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. We've been tested. Lockdown. Stay at home. No church buildings open. No fellowship. Certainly not what we've been used to. So let me encourage you and leave you with these 3 points. Firstly, belonging through membership. Don't think of church membership as merely a commitment, but as a place of belonging. Belonging is a fundamental human need beyond food and shelter. Through a sense of belonging, we feel needed and loved. Secondly, friendship and community. Our heart shouldn't simply be for small groups that meet several times a month at someone's house, as great as that is. My hope is that adults, teens and children find a spirit of true community together. A small group is a people, not a time on the calendar. Healthy groups encourage, challenge and support one another. So how can we involve the wider community and help them as the church? And third, be devoted to one another. Individualism has sparked unprecedented social isolation. So we need to work tirelessly to recover the biblical vision of human nature and community in our local churches. Of course, this is hard work, but by God's grace, we may increasingly embody the call of Romans 12, verses 10 to 13, which says, "Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need." You see, setting our focus on Him sets everything in its right place. The single most encouraging thing we can do for our own life is to place our focus on God. May our hearts always long for our God, and may we never stop searching. Amen.